that would secure the ramp behind him. He chirped and sounded impatient with me, but as usual, I couldn't understand him. "You can jack into the right," I said, and he scooted in there while continuing his electronic scolding. We had to navigate several different hyperspace lanes to get to Rhodia from the Tsujimi sector, and I was getting used to the way the jewel handled, so our trip probably took more time than strictly necessary. Fortunately, we weren't in a hurry, and I enjoyed every minute of it. The jewel was sheer pleasure to fly. The cockpit was quiet, unlike the high-pitched electronic whine of my X-Wing. R2 successfully installed a program into the jewel's computer that would translate his digital beeps into readable language. His words streamed on the holodisplay that Nakari had pointed out to me, and I kept the ship's intercom on so that he could hear my words. "R2, take us to Lonic, will you? We need to stop there to see if we can find someone to smuggle for us if the deal in Rhodia works out." Situated at the intersection of the Lonic spice route and the Trialis trade route, Lonic bustled with smugglers and other ne'er-do-wells in a way that might have moved Ben Kenobi to call it
a wretched hive of scum and villainy,
even if it was not quite as wretched as Mos Eisley. Plenty of illicit credits flew through there, and because of that, the Empire kept a watch on it. Leia had given me a briefing, warning me that Moff Abron Balfour patrolled the spice route often, and he represented the nearest Imperial presence to the current location of the Alliance fleet. I was not supposed to give him the idea that perhaps the fleet was somewhere in the sector. I was expecting a lively screen full of contacts when I entered the system, but perhaps not quite so lively as it proved to be. One of Moff Balfour's Star Destroyers showed up immediately, though it was too far away to pull me in with a tractor beam or engage in any meaningful way. Flying much closer to me were two TIE fighters, pursuing a ship that didn't appear able to put up much resistance. They were firing on it, and its shields were holding for the time being, but I doubted that would continue for much longer, especially since it was slower than the TIEs. I imagined there would be unidentified rattling noises on the ship, not indicating anything dire, just a general statement of decrepitude and imminent destruction. Didn't seem like a fair fight to me, but I wasn't going to make it my problem until I realized the ship was of Kupoan manufacture. The Kupoans had helped the Alliance in the past and might do so again. Not that there were necessarily Kupoans inside, or even Kupoans that were friendly to the Alliance. I had innumerable reasons to mind my own business and leave the ship to its fate, but I decided to dive in anyway on two guiding principles. If they annoyed the Empire this much, they were at least marginally on my side. And since I could help them, I should. And no one was around to argue with me about that last principle. "R2, plot us a course out of the system right away," I said, and accelerated to intercept speed. "Going to have to get out of here in a hurry after this. And hold on to something." The artificial gravity generator would keep him glued to the floor, but it wouldn't prevent torsion from the extreme maneuvers ahead. Normally he's wedged snugly into my X-Wing, and there would be no worry about such things. I engaged the ship's baby laser cannon and waited until I got a system go-ahead, then dived on the lateral access toward the TIE fighters. I flipped on the deflector shields and locked on the targeting computer. One look at the ships and I knew the TIE pilots were hanging on to the orientation of the Star Destroyer from which they had deployed. They had a sense of which way was up, and they were sticking to it, which is a limiting and even dangerous perception to hold on to in space. Up and down don't really have a meaningful use until you're in atmosphere. I deliberately rolled as I dived, adjusted my nose so that the leading TIE fighter was in my sights, and fired. The Desert Jewel's bolts turned out to be blue and shot in bursts of three. The first burst missed entirely, but the second tagged the TIE fighter and destroyed it. The second TIE rolled away to the left in an evasive maneuver, and I pulled up, planning to flip a loop and dive again. The Kupoan ship was still moving, free of Imperial pursuit for a few moments. I expected the TIE to bank around and try to acquire a firing solution on me, and for a couple of seconds, it looked like it was going to. but then it veered away to reestablish an attack vector on the Capoan ship. That struck me as very strange behavior. To ignore a mortal threat and give someone a free shot at your unshielded ship while you pursued a fleeing target? I almost didn't believe it, and checked to make sure there wasn't another ship on my scanners that I'd missed somehow. Something waiting in ambush. But there was only me, the remaining Tai, and the Capoan in the immediate vicinity. It looked like the Star Destroyer had just launched an entire squadron of additional Tais, but it would take them a while to catch up. They must want to erase that ship in the worst way, I said, thinking aloud. The Tai pilot had probably been given an order from the Star Destroyer that amounted to, kill the Capoans or don't come back. From my perspective, that was all the more reason to help out. Without the danger of being fired upon, I lined up another run and pulled the trigger on the Tai fighter, even as it was doing its best to blast the Capoan ship to pieces. The Capoan shields held under the onslaught, but the Tai fighter came apart at the first touch of my lasers. There, I said, and checked the position of the Star Destroyer again. It wasn't in range yet, but it was moving full speed to catch up, and the squadron of Tais were still a couple of standard minutes out. Maybe I can get some answers. R2, prepare the next jump and see if you can raise the Capoan ship. The droid's reply appeared on my holo display. Jump ready now. Initiating contact. Good. I hope that they can still... I cut off as the Capoan ship jumped to hyperspace without so much as a thank you. Well, I guess they can still jump. We should do the same. Take us to hyperspace as soon as you're ready, R2. The tension drained from my shoulders as I disengaged the laser cannon, but my mouth twisted in regret as the stars blurred and streamed past the cockpit window during the jump. I couldn't help but feeling somewhat disappointed. I wondered who was on that ship, and why they mattered so much to the Empire, and whether compromising my mission and putting this ship on Imperial wanted lists was worth it. It was worth it to the crew of the Capoan ship, no doubt. They still had their lives. But I wasn't sure if I'd done the Alliance any favors with that particular episode. And now, with the opportunity to evaluate it coolly, I saw how rash the decision had been. Now I had to skip Lonic entirely and go straight to Rhodia, hopefully ahead of any Imperial alert to be on the lookout for me. Perhaps I'd do well enough there that Leia and Admiral Akbar would forgive me for tweaking the Empire's nose when we were supposed to be hiding.